Yeah, so my collaborators are Heather at Oregon State University Extension in Oregon, and then Bob Brown is a farmer in Alaska, and we have a Western SARE grant, a farmer-rancher grant. And so he's done an awful lot of work on high tunnels and high tunnel production, and I'm going to try to give myself enough time to really highlight some of the work he's done because it's quite unique. So high tunnel use in my region has really been focused in Oregon with the nursery industry, and they've been using high tunnels for decades. So that's a very old use of high tunnels. That's the photograph there on the left. Oregon State University did have a high tunnel specialist many years ago. I'm not sure, I don't believe that position was refilled, but I could be wrong about that. Washington, the use of high tunnels has been very slow to expand. Use is primarily for vegetable production for urban markets. I will mention here that the reason, in my opinion, that high tunnels have been slow to expand beyond the nursery industry is because that the first tunnel structures that were really promoted beyond the nursery industry were hay groves. And I can tell you that I put up a hay grove and it lasted 1 week. Completely destroyed by winds. We had to rebuild it. We had a grant project, and so we were obligated. We were at the very beginning of a 4 or 5 year grant project, so I had to rebuild it. But I would never put in a hay grove, and I absolutely do not recommend to any growers in our area to have hay groves. But they had pushed a lot of tunnels in the region. They were completely destroyed throughout the region, and it really turned a lot of growers off to high tunnels in general. So we had to really overcome that, and NRCS has done a great job overcoming that because they require these packages. So in Alaska, and that's an NRCS-funded high tunnel there, that's on Rob's farm, and so they require, NRCS requires these very particular structures, and that has really moved us into the next phase where I think we're seeing a lot more high tunnels in our region. So our area, Western Washington, Western Oregon, and there's very limited, if any, high tunnel production in the Eastern Washington and Eastern Oregon. So in preparing for this talk, I surveyed all of our extension folks, and nobody in central, basically east of the Cascade Mountains, said that there was really any high tunnel production at all in their area. There are a few that I'm aware of, but it's really just, you know, here and there a couple. So Western Washington, Western Oregon, what makes our climate, I think, very unique, and maybe not for those of you who aren't familiar with our region in general, is that we have a very mild climate. We have a very mild winter climate, and hopefully you can see here, but this is temperature in Celsius. And in a high tunnel, which is the blue line, we go up to almost 18 degrees in the high tunnel in the dead of winter. And our low temperatures are above freezing in a high tunnel. And so we have a very mild winter climate. So this makes high tunnel usage really a very good fit for us because with very low input, we can really extend our harvest season throughout the winter. And this is our summer temperatures. And blue line, again, is in the tunnel. The pink line is outside in the field. Dead of summer, and we're at 35 degrees maximum in the tunnel in our area. So the high tunnel, the advantage of a high tunnel is it gives us a warm climate where we can grow tomatoes because otherwise we can't really produce tomatoes in our area. So there's basically no field production of tomatoes, but of course every farmer's market wants tomatoes, so high tunnels really opens that market opportunity to our growers. So looking at the nursery industry in Western Oregon and Western Washington, these are very tall structures and, again, being used for decades in this way. And Oregon is a leading state in the country for nursery production. Because of that mild climate, it really enables them to produce a lot of container plants. So spring protected during the spring, and then the summer just gives that extra growth for that market. Small farms, Western Oregon and Western Washington, primarily vegetable crops, but also berry crops. Again, season extension, as I mentioned, cold protection for the winter. And then for our region, rain protection is really critical, especially for strawberry production, because we can get our strawberries just rained out, just destroyed basically with one rain event. So rain protection is really important. And then again, that extra heat in the summer. And these photographs are just commercial farms in our area. The bottom right there is the biggest strawberry producer in, well, I think Washington and Oregon. So they went to hay grove structures, and hay groves works for them because they're just protecting against the rain. And they can get that plastic on and off, so it's a pretty quick. But that's the only farm that I'm aware of that uses a hay grove in our region. So Eastern Oregon and Washington, this is a high tunnel. This is a project that I had, 10, 15 years ago, working with farms because it was fascinating to me that everybody in Eastern Washington was like, well, we can't use a high tunnel because it's too cold and too much snow. And I was like, well, if Elliot Coleman can do it, you can do it. And people were just amazed that you could actually use a high tunnel in on the eastern part of the state. But it still hasn't really been adopted. And so this is just what it looks like inside the tunnel. Certainly they have to, you know, cover with road cover. This is a salad mix. And I think I took that photograph in January, again, about 15 years ago. And then the photograph on the right there, that's back in Western Washington, but I just needed to show that to you because that's our really high-tech snow removal tool. That's a boot attached to a stick covered with a plastic bag, and you basically just, you know, go up and down inside the tunnel and knock, and you're up, you know, every hour you got to get that snow off because otherwise it freezes, and that's what collapses your tunnel. So I just thought that was kind of a fun little tool. Looking at NRCS in our region, the number of high tunnels, and we just have the data, cumulative data from 2010 to 2016, because this is really being a major source of funding and has really enabled the use of high tunnels to expand in our region. So looking at Alaska, look at that, 679 high tunnels funded by NRCS in that six-year region. Oregon, 148, and Washington, 236. So Alaska is really where the growth is, and the reason for that is because without high tunnels, it's extremely difficult to grow vegetables for a market season. So they need that extra protection, and high tunnels provides them with that. I did want to mention that we produced a paper. Eric Belasco was the lead on that, and Russ is here, and he was also on that paper. And that paper we provided to NRCS, and it really gave them the validation that they needed to fund the high tunnel program, because what that paper really was focused on was that high tunnels were their crop insurance, and that's what funds the equipment program, is crop insurance, crop protection, risk management. That's what funds the high tunnel program. And so what I wanted to emphasize to us as a group is when you know that there's a need for information that helps NRCS provide funding to your farmers, publishing papers like that can make all the difference. So think about that in terms of your grant programs, because that was a really great outcome from our SCRI grant project a few years ago. So I wanted to just show you a couple more photographs of tunnels here. This is a farmer in Hood River. This is the Oregon Valley Greenhouse model. And I really like this farm because what they did is they went ahead and put a solar panel on there. Let's see here. Yep, there you go. There's the venting or the fan system right there. You can see that. So they have to have a double-ply plastic because of the wind. This is Hood River, and I don't know if you know anything about Hood River, but it is the wind capital of the Northwest, and it's all the windsurfing. So Hood River is the windsurfing capital of the Northwest because they have wind. And so in order to have a high tunnel in that area, you need the double poly to prevent the wind damage. So solar panel to run the fan. Oops, excuse me. So, and there you can see it's a battery, and there's the fan on the inside there. And I thought that was amazingly innovative, but that's an NRCS-funded high tunnel. This is not Haygrove, but somewhat similar to Haygrove, except that these hoops are much stronger than Haygrove, and this comes out of Canada. This is a Quidan. This is up on the Canadian border in Washington. And this is a raspberry farm, and you can see the raspberries there in the background, and you can see on the far right there are non-covered raspberries, and you can see the tunnel all the way down in the center, and then you can see on the left open. And the reason for that is because now you've got three different markets, right? So you've got the very earliest being the one in the middle, then you've got the next one coming in, and then you've got the far right. So this farmer has taken his planting and used these covers in order to extend his market as far as possible with fresh market raspberries. And then to add a little bit more innovation to this, he's cropped the alleyways. So you can see peas on the left there and salad greens, cabbages, greens on the right. So he's cropped the alleyways in those tunnels, and that gives him another market advantage. And I thought that was amazingly innovative. So a couple of other things that we've done in our area with high tunnels that's enabled us to really push the, you know, why should our growers be using high tunnels? We've been able to show that our high tunnels, when managed appropriately, can prevent late blight. Late blight is a primary disease impacting tomatoes in our region. It'll wipe out a tomato crop. A lot of our growers are organic because it's their direct market. It's, you know, that food culture, foodie culture. And so by having a high tunnel with appropriate ventilation, we can prevent late blight. And we've published that research, and that's really made a difference for us in terms of promoting high tunnel use in our area. And that's Marianne Powelson, who is the master's student on that project. And so this is what we have to do to manage late blight, is we have to keep our ends open. We don't have to keep the sides open. If we keep the ends open, we need that ventilation. This, unfortunately, cuts down on the heat accumulation, so we don't get the advantage in growth, but we have a crop. And so by trading between the two, I think it's, for us, it's better to have the crop without late blight than having a crop with late blight. So that's just made a big difference for us. However, we still get a lot of wind, so what we've had to do, I should say that I keep, this is my tunnel, actually, and I like those open ends, again, for the ventilation, but also because we can get our tractor through it. However, it doesn't take the wind. And so what we've had to do is we've built a frame on the inside of the tunnel, the wind end of the tunnel, and that frame prevents that tunnel from getting too damaged with the wind. We retrofitted that. It's all removable, so again, we can get our tractor in there and work it, but these are all considerations you certainly have to make. And so our growers are very innovative on wind management, because that's just a big issue that we have here. So parking the truck, you can see the photograph in the middle there, truck, orchard bins. When we know there's a wind event coming, sometimes you know, a lot of times you don't. But basically, you just have to do everything you can to prevent those winds from taking down tunnels. And we don't, it's not like we get tornadoes, but we get winds, 60 miles an hour on a regular basis, and maybe going up to 100. This is Washington and Oregon. And you just, they'll take a tunnel in 5 minutes. So you just got to be ready for that. So just a lot of innovation about how to manage winds in high tunnels. We did produce, this was actually my very first extension publication when I went to Washington State University, is we produced this very low-tech tunnel guideline. And so this is a portable field hoop house, and these were just PVC pipes bent over on rebar stuck in the ground. And this was, it's still extremely popular in our area, but it doesn't take a lot of wind. But it's a very short, it's a three-season tunnel. Move it in and out, move it all around the field. And it's been very popular for us. So now I'm going to take you to Alaska, and I think I still am doing okay for time. Got 2 minutes left? All right. I'm going to be very fast on this, but this is Rob up in Alaska. He's got about 10 feet of snow that he has to deal with on a regular basis. Winds 100 miles an hour. Periodically, steadily winds at 60 to 70 miles an hour. That's his situation, so he's really got to prepare for this. I have a lot of information on these next couple of slides, and I presented it in an earlier workshop, and I just wanted to let you know that we're writing a fact sheet on this, so if you have any questions, I don't have time to go through all of this, and I apologize for that, but he's had to do an awful lot of work, so he's NRCS funded, and he's had to do an awful lot of work to get his high tunnel in the ground and durable enough to sustain the climate that he has. So on the left there, what you can see is they're pounding into the ground, these drill stem pipes 10 feet because they have to get below the frost layer. Otherwise, the heaving of the frost will just lifts the tunnel up all over the place. So a lot of work that's gone into this, and this is part of our Western Sayre Farmer Rancher Grant, and we'll be publishing this as a user guide. So a lot of information here. If you have any questions, please just let me know. I'm happy to provide you the information we have here, but we're also going to be writing this up as a fact sheet. So again, just lots and lots of information here. I apologize, not enough time for me to go over it all. What I wanted to focus on here was what he's used, which was brand new to me. I wasn't aware of this product, is the covering of his tunnel is solar wrap. That's the fourth bullet there. I had never heard of this before, but it comes out of Germany. He purchased it out of San Diego. It comes out of Germany. It's 17 mil poly. It's 120 pound per foot squared snow load. It has an R value, so an insulation value of 1.72, and this is what makes his high tunnel work. So without this kind of covering, he could not actually grow anything in that structure. So while the structure may stand up, it would just be too cold for too long. And so this has been really interesting for us to get this information. So that's the last slide I have in my presentation. And Rob's information there is Flat Top Farm. So if you have any questions about his high tunnel, please just email him. He's absolutely a fantastic grower. And again, I just wanted to mention that this part of the project, or this part of my slide presentation, is a Western Sayre Farmer Rancher Grant. I'm the technical advisor on that grant, so it's just been a fantastic opportunity for me to work with a farmer on a high tunnel project. So I know all of us are have the capacity to do the same. If you haven't done this, served as a technical advisor on a grant, and then making sure my role is to make sure that we get that information and actually publish it. So I think a lot of times I've been on lots of farmer rancher grants, and usually the information doesn't really go beyond the final report. But I think it's worthwhile to really think about how we can turn that information into fact sheets or web pages or presentations like this. So thank you.
One question. Hold your questions to the end.
All right. Thanks a lot.